Good morning. And welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to both those here in worship in person and online. We pray you will experience the presence of the coming Lord Jesus here today and throughout the Advent season. Just a couple of announcements. Thank you all to those that helped with the community tree lighting this year. It was a great turnout, and it was made possible with all your helping hands. Please stay today after worship services, because directly following, we will have a called congregational meeting to elect our next class of elders and deacons. We will stay in the sanctuary for that meeting. Over the next days and weeks, we are also collecting knitted or crocheted prayer shawls for the chaplain's department at VCU Health. These don't need to be big, simply something to lay on one's lap or around one's shoulders. There is a green bin outside of Holman Hall where they will be collected. Are there any other announcements today? If not, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life."
We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ.
I will lead the blind by a road they do not know. By the paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. Come, Lord Jesus, our light and our salvation.
Let us walk in the light of the Lord.
The same God who has gathered us to worship now greets you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
In Jesus Christ, God seeks to smooth those places made rough by sin. With humility and hope, let us confess our sin together. O God, for whom we wait, we confess that we do not know how to prepare for your advent. We have forgotten how to hope in miracles. We have ignored the promise of your kingdom. We get distracted by the busyness of the season. Forgive us, O God. Grant us the simple wonder of the shepherds, the intelligent courage of the Magi, and the patient faith of Mary and Joseph, that we may journey with them to Bethlehem and find the good news of the child born for us.
By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us and give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our way into his peace. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter. Listen now to God's word. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Come.
I invite you to turn with me to the prophet Malachi, the second chapter, starting in the 17th verse. Listen now to God's word. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, how have we wearied him? By saying, all who do evil are good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or by asking, where is the God of justice? See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like washer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widows and the orphans, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of hope, who never lets us go, draw near to us in these ancient words. By your Holy Spirit, may we be filled, lifted up, and leveled as you prepare in our hearts the path of your coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The prophet says, the Lord will send his messenger to prepare the way, but who can stand the day of his coming? It may seem odd to us that in these first 2 weeks of Advent, the selected lectionary scripture readings seem to have little to do with the story of Christmas. We hear not of angels nor shepherds, no stars in the sky, no children foretold. Instead, what we hear are prophecies of the coming day of the Lord, and we hear of a call to repentance. If you remember, last week Jesus foretold that great and terrible day of the coming of the Son of Man. And the prophet Jeremiah told of a day when the righteous branch will come and execute judgment and righteousness on the people. And this week we hear of a man in the wilderness calling for repentance. And from the prophet, we hear of a day when the people will be refined by fire and washed with soap. Not exactly what we may call cheery. And maybe even, as it was described to me last week, a little bit gloomy. We find these readings odd in this season because they seem to lack the joy that we associate with Christmas. We forget, however, that for the Christian church, we're not in Christmas yet. We are in Advent. And Advent is inherently a time of reflection. It's a season when we are called to look inward and question our own motivations. As one scholar writes, Advent questions our worthiness, our readiness, and our willingness for Christ's coming. before the joy and the celebration of Christmas were first brought into a time of introspection and penitence. The words of Scripture confront us, make us take stock of ourselves, and cause us to ask, am I ready for the Lord's coming? Am I ready? Though separated from Christ by more than 400 years, the prophet Malachi sought to instill this same kind of introspection in the people of Judah. Whereas last week the prophet Jeremiah was speaking to a people in exile, those who had been taken forcefully from their homes, Malachi is speaking to a people who have returned to the land. The king of Persia had decreed that the people which were taken could now return to their homeland. They could return to the place for which they longed. But when they returned, what they found was only destruction, devastation. We may call to mind the scene from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Nehemiah goes on a ride in the night to go and inspect the city of Jerusalem, and he's distraught by what he finds. He says, Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. This place that was to be the land of their dreams was in actuality a wilderness. And not only that, but the people in the land had themselves become a kind of wilderness, only doing what was right in their own eyes, forsaking the justice and the righteousness of the Lord. We see in verse 5 of our reading today the many transgressions that the people practiced: adultery, lying, they oppressed workers and orphans and widows. They subjugated the migrants. The people became polluted by their actions because they lived in disobedience to the covenant of the God who claimed them. Instead of returning to the land in triumph and seeking to live according to the law of the Lord, they instead saw the destruction and said, if this is what we come to, we can do whatever we want. There's no God in this land. This pollution of themselves bled into every aspect of their lives, even so that the worship of God was compromised. It was dishonoring to the Lord. The place of their home became the land of injustice. And so in light of their current circumstances, many mocked, saying, evildoers must be good in the Lord's eyes. We see it all around us. He must delight in wickedness. And others, tongue in cheek, called out and said, where is this so-called God of justice? With their words, they accused God of letting injustice run amok, letting evil loose on the land, and they called him to vindicate themselves. They called on him to enact justice on those wicked people out there. The problem was they were blind to their own part in the brokenness of their homeland. They didn't see how they were living into the pollution of the people. They were just as guilty as those people out there. They were acting as liars and oppressors. By their own actions, the people and the worship of God were compromised. They cried out for justice on those, but didn't see how they themselves were perpetuating unrighteousness and injustice in the land. And their half-hearted cries wearied the Lord. Now, I fear that we're not so different in our day from the people of Judah. We see a great many today who cry out against the injustices of the world, but not a great many who reflect on their own part in it. Maybe we've done this. We call out the oppression of the poor and the needy in our world. We decry the immorality and the corruption of our society, of our politics. We may even denounce the treatment of the alien and the migrant in our nation. We may do all of this and feel really self-righteous. But we never stop and ask, am I living justly? Am I living morally? Am I living rightly? And I'm not talking about people in general in our world. I'm talking about us, the church, those who believe in Jesus Christ. Are we living according to the ways of the Lord? We cry for change out there while overlooking the change that is needed in here. It's no wonder then that many today find the church irrelevant, call us hypocrites. Our witness has been compromised by our inability to live up to our own standards. Some may say then that God doesn't even care about wickedness, or even that he lies dormant while the world goes to ruin. But I'm reminded of the words of that old hymn, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. There is a day that is promised, says Malachi, when the Lord will come and deal with all that has polluted his creation, when God will come with refining fire and cleansing soap to rid the world of all immorality, of all injustice, of all oppression. He will send his covenant messenger to prepare the way, to yield his purifying power in the world. He will, in the language of the text, he will burn away evil and wash clean from unrighteousness, making all things new. But who can stand in that day, says the prophet? No one. See, we may stand in our own self-righteousness and say, we're pretty good people. You know, we do a little bit here, we do a little bit there. We stand up for the right issues. But the word of the Lord says that even we will find that we fall short of the standard that God sets before us. No one is outside of God's purifying power. We call on God for justice out there, but we may find ourselves recipients of that same justice. Malachi states that the Lord will first purify his people and his priests. Much later, the Apostle Peter said something similar. He says that judgment begins with the household of God. Unrighteousness and injustice in us, in the people of God, will be the first to come under this great day of refining. Now, before you think that I've made a turn around the corner into some fire and brimstone, let's hear the prophet's words again. He says that we do not need to fear this day. This is not a day of horror. This is not a day where we cower under the mountains. but this is a day for which we will rejoice. For God comes to purify us, to cleanse the world of all evil, not to consume us. Like gold and silver refined by fire, it eats away the dross. It cleanses from impurity and it makes it shine even brighter. 10, 20, 30 times brighter than before. And this is what he promises to do with us, his people. He is still the Lord of the covenant. He will not cast his people aside. This isn't a turn or burn situation. He promises to be faithful. He'll rid the world from all evil, and he'll make the good shine bright. Our lives will then become a righteous offering to the Lord. We will be as he intended us to be, holy, beloved, perfect in God's sight. That day will be a good day indeed. All the things that keep us from God, all the things that keep us from fellowship with one another will be taken away. And we will live in that beloved community in the kingdom of heaven. And so as we await this day, God is calling each of us to prepare the way in our own hearts. This is why John the Baptist came in the first place. He came to call the people back to the Lord, to put aside all those things that kept them from God, and to find rebirth, new life in repentance and in baptism. John was following in Malachi's footsteps, holding up a mirror, the mirror of God's word to the people, so that they may identify, that they may see where they are falling short and turn, so they may walk the path that God intended and prepare the way for his coming. And so this Advent season, the prophet's word become our mirror. He's calling us to reflect on our own lives. And the question that we must ask ourselves is this: what do we need refining? What in us is in need of purifying? From what do we need to turn so that we may prepare the way for Christ's coming? In what ways maybe are we holding on to some sin that we need to confess? In what ways are we maybe speaking one way and acting in another? In what ways are we maybe upholding by our action or by our inaction unrighteousness and injustice in our own community? If we are to prepare the way, we must honestly look at ourselves and turn to God. But as we reflect, again, we don't do so in a posture of self-justification or despair, but we reflect, we confess, we lay it all down in gospel hope. For the one who will come as God's covenant messenger with purifying fire first came as a baby, born in a stable. He came to be Emmanuel, God with us, not God against us, God with us. He lived and taught, and he bore our corruption, all that polluted us, all that separates us from God. He bore it on his very body at Calvary so that we might be set free. And now in him, nothing can separate us from the love of our covenant God. We can turn and repent with joy, knowing that we do so as those claimed by God in Jesus Christ. Again, we hold up the mirror of God's word, and we have to look at ourselves honestly. Advent is a time of preparation. We prepared the space. We must prepare now our hearts. We don't do so to try to look at ourselves and look for perfection, or to look at ourselves and to condemn ourselves, but to see what God sees, to see with God's eyes, so that we may live as he intended. The coming day of refining is promised, and it will be for our good. Because the covenant God promises to come and to purify his people, we are called here and now to prepare the way in ourselves, turning from all that corrupts us and turning to the God who calls us home. So may you this Advent season look at yourselves really honestly, take stock of your life, bring it all before the throne of grace. Turn to God. And in doing so, prepare the way for the covenant messenger. Glory be to his name. Amen. Have the honor today of receiving 4 new members of Hebron Presbyterian Church. Membership is central to the Christian life. God has called us not as individuals, but as his church. The Christian faith is personal, but it's never solitary. It's never alone. And so he calls new people to come into his body so that we may embody his kingdom here on earth. And so I want to invite forward Mary and Tom Doyle and Bill and Carol Pipes to come up and join me at the front. Also, any ruling elders, current serving ruling elders, I also invite to the front to come and stand over here.
On behalf of the session, I present Mary and Tom Doyle and Bill and Carol Pipes, who have been received into the membership of the congregation by reaffirmation of faith.
Tom and Mary, Carol, Bill, in baptism you were claimed by God and marked as Christ's own forever, joined to his body by the Holy Spirit. You come to us then not as strangers, but as friends in Christ and members of the household of God. We rejoice that you now desire to join this congregation in our worship and in our mission. Hear these words from Holy Scripture. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in all. Showing your commitment to Jesus Christ and to his church, respond to the following questions. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? Do you? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love with God's help? Will you? I invite the congregation to stand. As members of the body of Christ, let us reaffirm the faith into which we were baptized using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Carol, Bill, Tom, and Mary, we have professed our faith as one body. Will you, with God's help, be a faithful member of this congregation? Share in its worship and mission through your prayers and gifts, your study and your service, and so fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Will you? I invite the congregation now to extend a hand as a sign of blessing and welcome as we pray over these new members. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for calling us to be your people and joining us to Christ's body, the church. We praise you for leading Bill and Carol, Mary and Tom to this congregation. Empower all of us by your Spirit that we might love one another as Christ loved us, honoring him in all that we say and do, giving of our lives in service to others as we await that faithful day when Christ will come with glory and all things will be made new. Through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let us welcome these new members as they join in our worship and mission. Please repeat after me. With joy and thanksgiving.
With joy and thanksgiving.
We welcome you.
We welcome you.
To share with us.
Share with us.
In the ministry of Christ.
In the ministry of Christ.
For we are all one.
For we are all one.
In him.
In him.
Let's welcome them with a round of applause. So they have the lucky, the stars, as we may say, have aligned that they've become members on the very day of a congregational meeting. So they'll get to exercise their right as congregation members this very day. So I invite you then after our congregational meeting to join us in Holman Hall so that you may greet and congratulate these new members officially.
Let us go once again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, for whom we wait, through your prophets you promise a day when you will come with refining fire to make all things new. As those claimed by your Son, Jesus, help us to prepare the way. Turn us from all that separates us from you, and turn us toward your bright future made real in Christ. And as we wait and prepare, hear us as we pray. Everlasting Father, from one blood you created all the nations of the earth, and all things are under your sovereign care. Come with your peace to this world marred by violence and hatred. Bring unity where there is division, healing where there is brokenness, and light where people sit in darkness. We pray, O Lord, for an end to the violent conflicts around this world, in Syria, in Israel-Palestine, in Ukraine, that you would send people of peace to bring an end to these conflicts, to bring justice and righteousness to these lands, bind up those who mourn, and to embrace those who are lost. We pray in this day that you would grant our leaders wisdom and humility, that they may govern according to your will, that they may seek the common good of all people, that they may serve and not seek to be served. And we pray today, as we hear the prophet's words, that you would help us love our neighbors, especially our neighbors who are poor, those who are widowed, those who are orphaned, and those who come to us from another land. May we live as your people, showing your love. O Prince of Peace, in coming into the world as a child in the manger, you became God with us, promising redemption for all who believe. As we await your coming again, grant us hope and courage to live as your church and to proclaim your gospel in every place. We pray, O Lord, for the body of believers and tradition that this church is a part of, the Presbyterian tradition. We pray that you would renew and revive us again, that we may seek first your kingdom, that we may put aside all of our fears and anxieties of church membership and of growth and of money and all of it, all those things that keep us from doing true ministry, and that you would help us to follow where Christ is leading. And Lord, we pray for this congregation that you have called Hebron. We pray that you would keep us in your care, that as you have called more people to come and be knitted into this community, that we may be faithful in having open doors, open arms, open hearts to receive those whom you have called. And we pray that you would keep us in step with the Spirit, that we may not turn to the right or to the left, but follow where Christ is leading. Give us courage, give us wisdom, and show us the way. Wonderful Counselor, your presence is our peace, your power is our restoration. Bind up the brokenhearted, lift up the lowly, heal the hurting, that we may glimpse your kingdom that is to come. Especially we pray for all those who desire your wholeness this day. And we commend into your care those we name in the silence of our hearts. O Holy Trinity, the one who was and is to come, we lift to you these our prayers, trusting your faithfulness, praying as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we've been nourished with God's word, and have joined in community with one another, let us give of our life and labors to the work of God and to his church. pray. Almighty God, you pour out your gifts in abundance upon us, and so we return just a part of your graciousness back to the work of your church for the proclamation of the gospel. And so we pray, sanctify these gifts, that they may help us prepare the way for your coming, to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to point to your kingdom that is to come. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Prepare the way for the Lord. Let us look at ourselves with God's eyes, seeing what in us keeps us from his love, and let us turn to him as we expect his coming again. So go from this place to love and serve the Lord. And as you do, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I put upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace, this day and always. Amen.